Let me just bring this Bible reading from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. And I don't have a Bible, Dave, so you need to transition the slide for me. Thank you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
Now, looking from the outside in, some people ask, is church a bit like a club of some kind? You know, you all go there, you hang out together, and like you keep coming back each week and even do stuff beyond the Sunday. And I thought, well, that's really interesting. I'd never thought of it that way. I don't know what would prompt that kind of a question in people. And I thought, I think that what I'm struggling with is I don't really understand what a club is all that well. So I did a little bit of research. First of all, I looked up, for some reason, I thought I'll start with membership cards. There's probably some whiz-bang membership card out there. Well, it's going to take me months before I stop getting credit card ads popping up on my feed. I didn't think to search incognito. So I didn't find a special membership card, but boy, did I find out a lot about clubs. And they have a few things in common, which is interesting. Now, there's this amazing club called the Yellowstone Club World Membership. It costs a mere $4 million to join, right? It works a little bit like fractional property membership, but via a corporate equity stake instead. I guess the folks with $4 million understand what that all means, or they don't care.
And David and Katrina Rockman said they like being in that club.
Yeah. Look, I've seen some of the properties you get to stay in. Although it's not restricted to property, they also have a couple of yachts and Learjets that you can use, which is appropriate, I think, if you are in fact a member of the Yellowstone Club World Membership. Another real estate club, a little bit more within reach of a regular person, not any regular person I know personally, but some more regular people, Leading Residences of the World. For just $325,000 US, you can join. And then, of course, there's the annual fee, $15,000 US. On the plus side, you receive discounted stays at some of the most exclusive residences around the globe, according to this website. But really, how many holidays can you have in 1 year? Stuart, here's one for you. I know golf, that's more your sort of thing, right? Yep, okay. There's the Vintage Club you might be interested in. It's not about holidays and stuff, it's about golf, yep. It's in California, only $250,000, all right? Two memberships. So, no, you need a friend. $32,000 per annum, or in Stuart's case, $64,000 per annum on top of that initial joining fee. It's not always about money though, joining a club. Not always about money. A few years ago, I had to travel a lot for work, like weekly interstate travel. And I ended up climbing up the ladder of the Qantas Club, and I got a whole heap of amazing benefits, including the one thing I really didn't want or need, discounts on yet more flying. Why would I want that? And there are other examples, motorcycle clubs, street gangs. It's not even about the money, it's about proving your loyalty. Mensa, not about either of those. Very simple standard, minimum IQ score of 130 on the WISC scale. And then of course there are sporting clubs. Anyone can join a sporting club. But of course, you know, you need to play sport. Once you're there, it's all about the prowess and ranking and handicap in some way as you kind of continue to prove your, I suppose, your right or your value or your position in that club. And finally, a totally different kind of gathering, AA and NA, Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. They flip the whole scale. It's not about, oh, how good are you? How wealthy are you? How worthy are you? It's about acknowledging fallenness in a particular area. Now, that is pretty much the second bravest thing I've ever heard of. Imagine that. You're already struggling in your life with this gripping failure, this habit, this fallenness in addiction, and you go along to a group to get some support and start hopefully walking yourself out of that place. And the very first thing these new people know about you is that specific failing. Before you get to tell them any of the great stuff about you, that's the first thing. Yes, I have a right to be here because of this. That's incredibly brave. Not surprisingly, those organisations do have their roots very firmly in a biblical culture, and still today, to a more or less explicitly continue to acknowledge God, or sometimes change out the words for higher power. So if we think of church, that's where we started. Is church a bit like a club, a place we go to regularly and definitely catch up with others beyond the Sunday morning? What defines us? What's the entry criteria or cost? What handicap or prowess or uniqueness do we need to have? Well, I think it's all about soul. Not just having a soul, but the word soul that defines us as a group. Now, S is for sinners. Romans 3:10, none is righteous, no, not one. And Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mentioned the second bravest thing I've heard of, admitting a specific failing, but here's the bravest. Coming to that realization in your life that you have a generalized, hopeless, helpless sin nature. Not just I'm okay except, you know, this bit. I am not okay. That's our realization. That's what we share together. That's why we don't have to have a membership card at the door. Nobody has to prove that they sin. We all know. We all know we do. It's not a comfortable thought, though, is it? Even think of the Lord's Prayer. Through history, there's been this uncomfortableness about the sin word. You know, you look at some older versions and it's, forgive me for my sins. If that's too close, you go to forgive us for our sins. Okay, still too close? Forgive us our trespasses. Forgive me where I've transgressed. Forgive me for my failings. I haven't checked my Aussie Bible, but it may have been transformed again. Sorry for the stuff ups, God. Well, Kel, what a downer. Kingdom Clubhouse must be a riot. And you're right, it's not comfortable. It's not meant to be comfortable. You change out the word, change out the sin word for trespass, transgression, wrongdoing, whatever. Momentarily, that eases it a little bit. But for anyone who's genuinely praying about that, taking that in their heart to God, you still come to a moment where it means the same thing. God, I've messed up again. Please forgive me. But why? Are we so very much worse than the Joneses next door? No, we're not. Unfortunately, they also are not any better than we. It's just we've realised it. We've acknowledged it. Romans 5:12 says, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 6:23a, the wages of sin is death. Now, I don't normally like to quote part verses. It's almost like you're trying to get away with not adding an explanation for what is written in the rest of the verse, but I am actually going to use the rest of the verse shortly. But pause with me for a moment just there. The wages of sin is death. Most people can eventually acknowledge that they've sinned. Some people can comprehend that sin is an affront to God. It's not just generic bad stuff. It's the stuff where instead of facing in to God, looking to God, leaning into his word and striving to be more like him, allowing yourself to be transformed, it's the stuff where you turn your back on God and you lean into the world and what the world would have you do. It's things like gossip and hate, it's pride, self-sufficiency, judgmentalism, gluttony. And then even fewer people can comprehend that the payment for that sin is death. Our bodies die, sure, but our forever payment is also death. That's just how it is. Well, I was right about you, Kel. This really is a downer. But O is for on board. Let's talk about what we do with this. We sin because we have a fallen, sinful nature, but what happens next? Let's get back to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 8, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, we didn't do anything to deserve it. This was prophesied long ago by the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 5, which you heard this morning through the communion service. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his words we are healed. And, of course, 53:6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Ba-ba-do-ba-ba. You're right. So there's our forgiveness. Prepared, ready for us to claim, like a gift voucher someone's given you to the most valuable and precious club in the world. All you have to do is walk up to the concierge desk and claim it. Only it's not a desk, it's a throne. Because it is a very, very unique and special club. It's a beautiful club, a wonderful membership that we have. So you go forward, you approach the throne, and ushers hand you little instruction cards about how to redeem your membership. Romans 10, Verses 9 and 10 and 13 are written on the cards. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. I work in a multicultural workplace. We have people of every world faith present in our workplace, as far as I can tell. And over the years, I've been involved in workplace ministry. So we do outreach events, you know, Christmas and Easter information sessions and you know, whatever opportunity we can get. Pancake Day, we're there. And, you know, just also trying to be part of the life, the cultural life of the workplace. Now, through that, sometimes people who are quite devout in their own faith come forward and they have a conversation. Not a isn't the weather lovely today conversation, but a what do you mean kind of conversation. But what do you mean Jesus' death can pay for our sin? What do you mean you think you get to go to heaven forever and ever and be with God when you die? I remember one fellow, he was very, very devout in his faith, very devout. He was really grateful that at the moment he's a human. In his view, he was a human because he must have done good enough as whatever he was before in his previous iteration on Earth. So he got reincarnated as a human. Now, if he does well enough in his understanding, he's going to come back again. And he might be, if he's done good enough, he might come back as maybe a spiritual leader within his faith. But he, if he doesn't do well enough, he could come back as a farmyard animal or a wild beast and then kill and then get demoted again for the next iteration. Like, it was so desperately sad. And he spends all this time praying and meditating and fasting and he never, ever has assurance that he's done well enough. He tries. But then straight after, he's like, oh, did I meditate long enough, deep enough? Have I learned enough? Have I been to enough conferences? And he, even when he dies, he might not know. This is his view of the world. He follows a God concept that is cruel, capricious, entirely not relational at all. It's incredibly sad. What about us here? We're not dragged along on the tide like this at the whim of some malicious kind of being. We're on board just by accepting the salvation freely offered to us. U is for unbound. In Romans 5, 1 and 2 and 8, 34, 38, 39, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Or to sum it up, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing. We don't need to walk in here every week wallowing in shame. We don't, when we approach God in prayer, need to cower and quiver, feeling, you know, ashamed. We stand forgiven, washed clean, entirely clean in our hearts, uncondemned. And from that foundation, we open our hearts to learn and to love, which is our letter L. On learning, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's a whole sermon in this L. The nature of church, our responsibility to one another as believers, our collective responsibility as the bride of Christ, an interesting but very powerful analogy of the church. But for today, just keep that in mind. L is for learning. This is another thing that draws us together to continue to learn about this wonderful salvation that we have. And then there's loving. There's another whole sermon in that one. But for today, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We don't wait until we have everything all figured out. There's no point waiting until we're perfected, because that won't happen in our lifetime. We need to share this love now while we're still learning. Don't leave people lost out there, like my colleague at my former workplace, trying and trying and trying and never being assured of salvation, always doubting, always wondering. Or the people who've had just enough religion to think, well, I know all the basics and I'm like not violently opposed to any of it, so I'm probably okay. We need to boldly and lovingly bring that truth to people. So we're not here by accident. This is the Soul Club, and it's the most valuable community connection we can ever hope to have on this earth. So if you're here out of curiosity, or if you're here out of habit, if you're here out of obligation or for no particular reason, Jesus is inviting you to make this more meaningful. You can make this a time to acknowledge sin, to get on board, accept that sacrifice that Jesus made. Enjoy being unbound from that shame and guilt and condemnation, and walk freely and confidently, learn together, and share that love beyond these walls through the rest of our life. I'd like us to pray together now, and if this is the first time that you're praying this, then please take some time to think it through. And if you're recommitting, you know, if you found that passion wavered in the past and you are ready right now to recommit and accept Jesus' sacrifice afresh, recommit to that sense of being unbound and commit to enjoying the freedom that comes in that, then pray with me now. And only if you agree, please say amen. If you pray it for someone else that you know is lost, then pray it and say amen. If you pray it for you, pray it and say amen. And tell somebody, because there's so much more to it. Right now, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that we have a sin nature. Your scripture makes it very apparent to us that without the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we wouldn't be able to reconcile ourselves to you. Only a perfect sacrifice can do that, and that was Jesus. We know it in our hearts and we confess with our mouths that Jesus is the Lord. We accept the salvation offered to us. We are on board. We celebrate that we don't have to feel ashamed. We celebrate that there is no condemnation now. Help us to continue learning every time we meet together, learning and relearning and relearning about your love and your pattern for our lives and your desire to be in relationship with us forever. And help us share that with others around us. Let us see the opportunities right in front of us, not just in workplaces, but in our homes, our neighbourhood, our families, our other clubs. And help us to gently, lovingly, bravely speak in those places so that the people who are lost can be found and brought into this amazing family, the church that you designed for us. Amen.
Father, it's great that we've been able to come this morning to sing your praises, to adore you, to lift you up. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had of being able to celebrate communion this morning and the reflection of the fact that you came and was broken for us, died upon a cross so that our sins could be forgiven. And Father, we thank you for the word that's been preached this morning, reminding us of the gospel, the good news, the fact that you offer to man free salvation as we come to know and understand and repent of our sin and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So it's been great to be here this morning. And Father, I pray that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love, may we be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we may be able to be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to exceedingly abundant above all that is asked or think, according to the great power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. And we all agree and say, Amen. Amen.